What would a government shutdown do to the economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Friday is the deadline for negotiations to avoid a government shutdown, and lawmakers have yet to agree on tens of billions of dollars in cuts to the budget for the rest of the current fiscal year. President Obama will meet again with negotiators today. For more on what a possible shutdown would mean for the government and for the economy, let's bring in Diane Lim Rogers. She's chief economist at the Concord Coalition. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, with all the things that the government is doing right now to prop up the economy, whether it be intervention in the mortgage market or jobless benefits, stuff like that, could the economic recovery be impacted, do you think, by a shutdown?
I don't think that the benefit programs that support the economy are going to be affected significantly. People worry that the tax return refunds might possibly be delayed, but those are handled electronically, and that makes it more likely that they would not be adversely affected. And people are still entitled to their unemployment benefits, their Social Security benefits. I don't think those would be affected.
You're an economist in Washington. Give us a sense right from the belly of the beast of what your concerns are as we face the possibility of a shutdown in a couple days.
My biggest concerns are what this signals for the only slightly longer-term budget issues that we don't seem to be able to solve. We're starting this debate on the 2012 budget, and we don't seem to be having productive conversations. We have much bigger spending needs to work out going forward, and this is just a very bad signal about the prospects for agreement.
Diane Lim Rogers, chief economist at the Concord Coalition, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
Well, today the government finds out whether toxic assets that no one wanted to buy during the financial crisis are now worthy of a bidding war. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York is auctioning off about $1.5 billion worth of mortgage bonds that it bought from the ailing insurance giant AIG back in 2008. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports.
In the depths of the financial crisis, the Fed bought nearly $16 billion worth of mortgage-backed securities from AIG. Most of those bonds were backed by subprime mortgages, and they became known as toxic assets. But yesterday's toxic is today's hot deal. AIG offered to buy the mortgage bonds back from the Fed, and the Fed turned them down. It thinks it can make more money selling them to the highest bidder. Dan Nigro is the CEO of Warfield Consultants.
People fight over these, and they have been crying for supply.
These are still risky investments, but Nigro says investors, like hedge funds, believe these bonds will pay high interest rates and rise in value as the housing market recovers.
They have value even as toxic securities because there is a light at the end of the tunnel.
The sale is part of the government's efforts to unwind the extreme measures it took during the financial crisis. The Fed and the Treasury have hundreds of billions more in toxic assets to sell. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up around the world. London is up about 0.6% right now. The price of gold is at a record high, $1,457 an ounce. Gold is seen as a hedge against inflation, and the latest rise in price follows yesterday's move by the Bank of China. The bank raised interest rates for the fourth time in less than 6 months to fight inflation. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 6 points to close at 12,393.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions in the U.S. that can help to guarantee income for life. AllianzUSA.com. By Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at Microsoft.com/cloud. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at MassMutual.com/mutuality.
Three of the nation's largest cell phone companies are launching a test run for mobile payments in Salt Lake City. AT&T, T-Mobile, and Verizon will let riders of the Salt Lake City transit system pay for tickets with their phones in the hopes that we can all pay for all kinds of things with our phones soon. For more on mobile payments, let's bring in Marketplace's Steve Henn. He's with us from Silicon Valley. Good morning.
Good morning.
So this seems like a no-brainer, Steve. I mean, my maps are on my phone, my email's on there. Why shouldn't my credit card be?
Well, people have been paying with mobile phones in Japan and Europe for ages, so the technology is all there. The biggest problem in the States is that there are literally millions of retailers who would have to buy new credit card processing machines that could talk to your phones before this can happen. And they're worried about fees and those fees going up. So, you know, it's a huge market. Lots of people want to crack it. There's something like $3.5 trillion in payments made each year with plastic. But getting the retailers to spend the money to buy new machines is the big hurdle.
And who are the players, Steve, who want to get into this game of mobile payments?
Well, you know, at times it feels like pretty much everyone. Google, Apple possibly could get into it. There are startups like Bling Nation, established companies like Verifone. Even Jack Dorsey, the co-founder of Twitter, has a startup that would turn a phone into sort of a virtual cash register. His company is called Square, and Dorsey thinks within a generation, cash could almost disappear.
I use cash less and less. For instance, I locked myself out of my apartment last night, and I was expecting to have to go rumble up some cash and go to the ATM, but I was delightfully surprised that my locksmith took Square, so I could just pay with my credit card, and it was completely secure.
Completely secure, he says, Steve, but obviously that would be a big question. Is it going to be secure to use your phone as a credit card?
Well, that is a big question, you know, and it's one of the biggest challenges for the industries. Dorsey's company, Square, has been accused of being hackable by people who can convert his little credit card reader into a machine that would just steal your credit card information. Cell phones generally are pretty insecure devices. They talk to lots of different things, wireless networks and cell phone towers. And security experts I've talked to said this is really going to be the biggest challenge for this industry, figuring out how to really lock down a cell phone and make it safe.
Marketplace's Steve Henn joining us from Silicon Valley. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.
And finally, to dish soap. Consumer Reports has just tested out 14 of them, from the $2.10 Ajax right up to a $15 bottle called The Laundress. And the magazine found that they all worked equally well at cleaning dishes. No difference. So I guess you can scratch fancy dish soap off the list of things to impress your friends with. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
If you've got sticker shock when you walk into the grocery store, you're in the same boat as shoppers all over the world. Global food prices are rising steadily, but not at the same pace everywhere you go.
So some countries import food, some countries export food, and other countries are basically self-sufficient in food and don't really participate much in international markets.
I'm Bob Moon, the discrepancy in global food prices. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.